Book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 2. I want to minister a very, very well-known scripture. You'll recognize it in the first few words. And I want to entitle the message today, Follow Me. Follow Me. When Jesus chose his apostles, almost half of the ones, the first words he said to them were, Follow Me. And the others that he didn't explicitly say, Follow Me, it was implied in how he dealt with them. And when you just read that in the gospel, just peruse it, you think that he was saying, Hey, follow me, I'm going to Bethany, follow me. I'm going to the next city, follow me. And it did kind of mean that, but the meaning of follow me is so much deeper. And just as Jesus said to the apostles and disciples of old, follow me, he says the same thing to you and I. Now, the difference is, he's not here so we can follow him to the next city. So that there's something else he's saying to us regarding that. When he told Peter after his resurrection, he reconciled Peter back to the group. And then after his resurrection, he's getting ready to leave the planet. He said, Peter, follow me. And what he was saying is that you just saw me live my life for God. You saw me go to that cross and you saw me die. And now I want you to follow me. And he says that to every one of us, although he's not talking about a physical cross or a physical death, he's telling all of us, follow him to the cross. Let me explain. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, the apostle Paul is writing. He says, I am crucified with Christ. I want you to realize that that phrase is present tense. It's not past tense. He's not saying, I was crucified. He's saying, I am right now crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But not yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's pray. Father, we just come to you this morning recognizing that we can do nothing except your Holy Spirit move. Lord, we humble our hearts and bow our knees towards you, asking you, Lord, for continued ministering of your Holy Spirit within this place. Touch every heart. Give me the ability to speak clearly before your people, to make a certain sound, to blow the trumpet in Zion, that every heart might hear. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. We ask you as well that you bless the offering that we receive today. Lord, help us to use it for your glory alone, to spread this gospel as far as we can with the time that we have left. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. Amen and amen. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Now, he had been saved for well over a decade, I believe, at this point. And so he's not saying, I was on the day of my salvation crucified with Christ, although that would have been correct. He's saying, even right now, several years removed from the Damascus Road event, I am right now crucified with Christ. Now, the same is true for you and I. Whenever you got saved, I've been saved about 40 years, some here of 70, some 10, some 5. But whenever you got saved, that is the moment that you were crucified with Christ. In other words, when God looks at you, he looks at you through the finished work of the cross. And when that happened, there was a dramatic change made on the inside. You stopped being the big devil that you were. And you weren't perfect, but at least a lot of the things that you were doing, they just began to fall off. You were crucified with Christ. And so we can look then at what happened to Jesus in the events surrounding the cross, his crucifixion, and we can see a template of what's going to happen to us. Now, again, nobody here is going to be physically crucified on a physical cross. That's not what we're talking about this morning. But there is a death that every Christian has to encounter, that it lessens what you are in terms of the world, but increases what you are in terms of heaven. Are you with me? And so there's 4 points I want to make this morning concerning Jesus' crucifixion. Number one, he was voluntarily crucified. He volunteered. Nobody could make him, and nobody can make you. Number two, his crucifixion was contrary to his own will. For him to go to the cross, he had to submit his personal will to the will of the Father. Same is true for you and I. Number three, in order for him to go to the cross, he had to override his sense of self-preservation. How many know flesh wants to live? I don't care how hard you got saved. When you got up from being saved, flesh still wants to live. And we go through this process years, decades, crucifying flesh, killing it out, lessening it little by little with the help of the Holy Spirit. And then finally, number four, once Jesus was on the cross, he was tempted to come down from the cross. And when we look at these four aspects of Jesus' crucifixion, we're looking at through a lens, and we can see exactly what we're going to go through and what is required of us. And so let's go through them point by point. Number one, again, is Jesus' sacrifice was voluntary. God is not going to tackle you and make you crucify yourself. If you're in love with your flesh, he will let you keep it if that's what you want. But now he defines leprosy as quick, raw flesh in the rising. Quick means alive. Raw means just straight up. Flesh, and it's in the rising. That's the definition of flesh in Deuteronomy. But the crucifixion that you and I go through, it has to be voluntarily. In fact, we see it in this very same scripture. It says, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself. He gave himself. Nobody made Jesus go to the cross. He submitted to the Father's will, and he went to the cross voluntarily. Your sanctification, which is synonymous with your crucifixion, it has to be voluntary. And I don't care how saved you are. I don't care how long you're saved. There's going to be points in your life, points of self-crucifixion, that you're not going to want to do it. It's quiet. There's going to be times in your life that the Holy Spirit is dealing with you. In fact, let me say this. Your secret sin right now is still bothering you simply because you don't want to do it. I don't want to die this. I don't want to die in this area of my life. And if you want to stay alive in that area of your life, the Holy Spirit will only, he'll only convict you for so long, and then he'll back up if that's what you want. But you're going to find out that thing you're holding on is going to turn into corruption. In your very grasp, you may hold it, but it's going to turn into corruption. Please believe me. Now, as you get a little bit older, physically older, you've been safe and walking with God for a long time, it's easy to understand. But when you're younger in the Lord, you think that that flesh is going to ride along with you, but it's not. Now, you won't be twerking that much longer. Yeah. The Holy Spirit is going to, he's going to deal with that. And in fact, he's already dealing with it. The alcohol, the smoking weed, the things that we have grasping our life when we come to Jesus Christ. Sometimes we want to hold on to this thing, those things, but the Holy Spirit's not going to let you do it. Now, if he has to, he'll back up. And where you thought that you had that thing will now have you. But sooner or later, if you continue your walk, you're going to have to voluntarily yourself give that thing up. Jesus gave himself. Here's what he said in John 10. He said, no man takes my life from me. No man, and no man's going to take your spiritual life. No man's going to make you crucify yourself. It just simply doesn't work. If it was possible for one man to make another person crucify himself, I would have long ago crucified all of you. But it doesn't work that way. Each of us has to make a decision to voluntarily crucify ourselves. Point number two. When Jesus was crucified, it was not his will, his personal will. If you remember in the garden, he said, Father, if you be willing, remove this cup. I don't want to do it. I don't want to die like this. I don't want to go to the cross. I don't want the brutality of what lies just ahead. He said, if you be willing, remove this cup. If there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Now that lets you know that Jesus' will was, I don't want to go to the cross, but he submitted his will to the will of the Father. And said, God, if it's your will, I don't like it, but I'm going to submit to what you tell me. And how many's had those? If you've been saved for any amount of time, there have been times you've had to submit what you wanted and said, I have to just submit to what God wants. That is what spiritual growth really is. That is the crucified life. That's what it really means when Jesus said, follow me. It means that you're willing to deny yourself. You're willing to submit your personal will and give it to God and say, God, I want that, but you want this, and I'm going to walk with you, and I'm going to satisfy myself with this. And let me tell you something, that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where, it's easy to quote this scripture, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Oh, and yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live it by the faith of the Son of God. It's easy to quote that scripture, but when you got to live it, now you find out that the cross is a place of death. The instrument that the Romans used, the cross, it was an instrument of death. It only did one thing. It killed its victim. And so when you had a man who was crucified, when he picked up that cross to go to the place of crucifixion, he wasn't coming back. And when you and I, when we pick up the cross and we begin to follow after Jesus, you're not coming back. You're going to be altogether different. Paul said, it's not I. I in the Greek is the word ego. And that's really what it means. It means you, the ego. It's got to die. Because ego carries pride. Ego carries selfishness. And all of that's got to go away. And he don't just snap your fingers. See, the cross is not something that you give your life to Jesus Christ, say, praise God, I've made it in. No, 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 no. The cross is like if you're on a boat and you drop the anchor. The anchor of the cross drops. The purpose of that anchor is you can't go too far. You can't just sail off your own direction because you got an anchor. The cross is holding you right there. And it's holding us in a place that these things that are not consistent with the personality and character of Jesus Christ, they have to be evacuated from our lives. He said, no man takes my life from me. Luke chapter 22 and 42. He says, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And then we continue with that same story in Matthew. It says that he went away. He prayed. He was praying to the Father just prior to his arrest. He went away again the second time, Matthew 26, 42, and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, well, then thy will be done. And what he was saying is that it's not my will to drink this cup. But if it's your will, if there's no other way that it can pass from me, then I want your will to be done. Now, saints, those words are easy to speak. But when the fog of temptation comes upon you, when that fog comes upon your mind and it seems like you can't discern spiritually right from wrong, that fog is there. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? The temptation is so strong that you're losing your spiritual equilibrium. The ground is, the foundation is, Lord, I want your will to be done. Walk me through this trial. It says then that he came and found them, the disciples, asleep. For their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went again and prayed the third time. See, sometimes you can't just say, God, help me through this. And think it's going to happen. Sometimes you got to linger on that prayer. Sometimes you got to take your time. Listen, if God didn't give you an answer, now the answer may not be the answer you wanted, but he'll give you an answer. But if he didn't yet give you an answer, you need to keep praying that prayer. Ask him again. It's just common sense, right? If you said, Pastor Lincoln, could you say that again? And I didn't hear you. You said, brother, could you say that again? And if I still didn't hear you, you'd lift up your voice. Say, Pastor, I need you to say that again. And the same with God. If you spoke, he heard you. He just may not respond the first time. You keep saying it again and again and again until you get a response from God. It may not be the response you want, but it'll be the response you need. So then the third point is Jesus had to overcome his human sense of self-preservation. Now let me give you the definition of self. Self is your flesh when it's not under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And flesh can be a booger bear. I know everybody in here knows what I'm talking about. Flesh don't want to die. Flesh wants to live. That's where most of our sin problems come from, is because flesh don't want to die. It wants to live, but you and I spiritually, we are the master of this temple, and we have to make flesh submit to the will of God. We have to put aside self-preservation, and we have to embrace self-crucifixion. It's got to be diminished. You will never love yourself the way you're supposed to until flesh is dead. But as flesh dies out, Paul said, it's not I, but Christ dwelleth in me. As flesh dies out, Jesus begins to stand up more and more in his personality in your life. And all of a sudden, you see these wonderful qualities begin to show in your life, and you know that's not you. You know that's not you. There's nothing about me patient. I've never been patient. But there are times, even my wife will say, I can't believe how patient you are with that person. And I don't say anything because maybe she doesn't know it wasn't me. But in the inside, I'm saying, thank you, Jesus, because patience is not one of my natural qualities. But it's a quality, it's a characteristic of the personality of Christ. And he just begins to live through you, his life. And if you will submit, if you can just not say it, you're in a bind, you're warm, you're getting hot. If you could just not say it, whatever it is you're thinking, just let it pass. Little by little, you'll see Christ begin to show himself, manifest himself in you more and more and more. Third point, the self-preservation. Jesus says in Matthew 16:24, then said Jesus to his disciples, and all of us are his disciples. Here's what he said. If any man will come after me, number one, can't go to number two till you get number one right. Let him deny himself. Self. It means self-determination. It means self-will. It means self-motivation, self-direction. It means you stop being the driver and you let God now become the driver of your life. You're no longer the one that responds. You let Jesus now become the one that responds in your life. And it means that you have to decrease. It means you have to deny what you want to say, how you want to act, the words you want to use, the backhand that you want to deliver. You have to deny all those things. And you have to let Christ. See, many times our marriages can be upside down because self is alive. Self is just standing up. And especially when you have two people in that marriage and both of them fully alive in the flesh, ain't no peace in that house. That house is full of hell when self is alive. But if you ever begin to allow, and God will help you, self to die out and Jesus to stand up, The stormy waters of your domestic affairs will just go silent. They'll just absolutely just, the storm will stop. And you'll find that allowing Jesus to have his way in your life, it works so much better. Now here's another aspect of self-preservation. And this one we all will understand. Matthew 27:35, it says, and they crucified him, speaking of Jesus, and they parted his garments. Jesus wore a seamless robe. It had no seams on it. It was a very expensive garment. They parted his garment, casting lots, that it may be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments amongst them. So here's the picture. Jesus is hanging on the cross in pain and anguish. He's doing everything he can to go through the crucifixion. He's bleeding. He's broken. He's hanging there wounded. He looks down at the very men that crucified him, and they're rolling dice for his seamless garment. Now think about that would do. I mean, when somebody takes something from me, I am not happy. How many know what I'm talking about? Somebody comes and they physically take something from you that they have no right to. It doesn't make you happy. And Jesus is hanging there in anguish on the cross, watching them take his seamless garment, rolling dice to see which one of them get to take it home. And Jesus had power to come off that cross. He could have fixed that situation right there. But he hung there. He hung there until he was 100% dead. Saints, that's when he said, follow me, that's what he's talking about. When you want to say it so bad, I mean, your eyes are twitching, your nose is twitching, you want to say it so bad, just hang there and die. That's the crucified life. That's the life of the cross. Then finally, fourth point. There will always be a temptation from those around you and from society to come down off the cross. You're living the crucified life. You're denying yourself. You've come out from amongst them. You're living a separate life. There's always going to be a temptation to reengage with this world system, to reengage with the culture. There's always going to be that temptation. When Jesus, in Matthew 27:40, just a few verses down, he says, and those who are around there representing the world, they were saying, now that destroys the temple and buildeth it in 3 days, save who? Self. Save self. The world is always going to call after you. Just one Budweiser's not going to hurt. I mean, you're saved, right? God's going to forgive your sins. You know, you fire up a reefer, it'll be okay. Just a little illicit sexual relationship. You just release some pressure. It's okay. God's going to forgive you. The world will always call for you to come down off the cross. Just like they did for Jesus. You said, you that destroyed the temple and raised it in 3 days, come down, let's see what you got. It's a temptation. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking him and the scribes and the elders, saying, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross. Now understand something. Jesus could have come down off that cross. But you and I would have been lost. And so he hung there in agony as the temptation was screamed at him. Come down if you be the Son of God. If you are who you say you are. You say you're in relationship with Jesus. Why are you going through everything you're going through? And the world will make it hard for you. They'll make it hard for you just because you're a Christian. Look at our brothers and sisters in Nigeria. They're being killed in wholesale numbers for no other reason than they name the name of Jesus Christ. And I don't want to be political here, but I thank God for a president that says this has got to stop. And I thank God for a president that says this murder's got to stop. It's an amazing thing that people get all twisted up on this ethnic color thing and can't see innocent Christians are dying. Those are brothers and sisters. I don't care who the president is. Go stop that mess because it's coming here. Don't fool yourself. Somebody said, well, we've never seen it here. Well, in Noah's day, they never saw it rain. But we're going to see it in not too long. So the world is always going to tempt you. Come down from the cross. You don't have to live that strict of a life. Huh? It don't take all that. Have you ever heard that? Honey, it takes everything you can live. The Bible said if the righteous do scarcely get in, where will the ungodly stand? And so you and I, we have to stay, first of all, we have to make up our minds, voluntarily crucify ourselves, voluntarily submit to God's will. Then we have to give way to self-preservation, not allowing self to live. Self must be crucified. And it's anguishing. It's the anguish of the cross. It's the agony of the cross. That's what it's talking about. And if you're moving forward in your sanctification, you know exactly what I'm talking about. When you want to do it, you want to say it, you want to act a certain way, and the Holy Spirit is convicting, and you're there just anguishing. Anguish on. Anguish on. That's the only way you crucify yourself. If you turn around, you're going to have to start all over. Just sit there and cook. I am crucified with Christ. When he said, follow me, he's saying, follow me to the cross. I'm crucified with Christ. Right now, present tense, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, here I am. I'm alive. But it's not the old Lincoln ego, but Christ is living in me. More and more every day, Christ is living in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live it by the faith, my faith in the Son of God, who gave himself for me. Why would I not give myself back to him? Hallelujah. Follow me. Follow me. If you are a child of God, if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, let those words ring in your ears for the rest of the week. Follow me. Follow me. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room? Father, we thank you. We thank you that you set the example. You didn't call us to do something you weren't willing to do yourself, and you did it to a far greater degree than what you're asking us. But, oh God, give us now Holy Ghost conviction upon every heart in this room, across our online experience, those watching by webcast. We ask you for the convicting power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, that we follow you, Lord, not from chapter to chapter, but we follow you to the cross. We deny ourselves. We voluntarily submit our will to your will. We stave off self-preservation and the calls to come down from the cross, and we just allow you to do the work that you desire to do in our lives. Father, I pray for myself first as well as I pray for my brothers and sisters. Let this crucified life become real to us. Come on, all over the room, would you stand to your feet, all over the room? I don't know where you are. It's none of my business. But why don't you right now, the area that you're struggling, the area that seems like sin has a grip upon your life, submit, just give that to God right now. Just tell him right now, Lord, I don't want this anymore. I've carried it too long. I love it, but I submit my will to your will, and I want it to be taken away from me. Lord, I'd never give it up myself except you take it. And so I submit my will to your will. Come on, just reach out to the Lord right now. He's not angry at you. He wants to help you.
Lord, we need you today more than ever, Lord. We are not able. We don't have the strength within ourselves to lay our lives down, to crucify ourselves, Lord. We need you to help us, Father. It's only through your strength that we're able to do it, Lord. And we trust you and your will. And we know, God, that if you've called us to something, you've given us all the tools that we need. So just help us, Lord, to surrender to the Holy Spirit that lives in us, God, so that you can bring forth the fruit in our lives. We thank you for it, Lord, and we praise you for it. And help us, Lord, to just continue to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, Lord, and to follow you. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Just a few quick announcements. If you haven't given, definitely take time to give. We need your support. On November 7th, which is the first Friday of every month, we have Ignite Prayer. I make it out when I can. It's from 10 p.m. to midnight. It's a wonderful time of prayer. There's not many of us here. It'd be great to see others come out and support us in prayer. It's nothing like corporate prayer. Amen. And then also, if you or a family member, someone that you know with the Thanksgiving holiday coming up is in need of a Thanksgiving basket, they are available. You can apply for one on the website under Outreach and Community Assistance, or see Sister Boyd or Sister Amelia. And then the last announcement is if you lost or misplaced a key since last week, please see Sister Lincoln. She has it. Amen. Thank you all for coming out. May the Lord cover you and be with you throughout this week until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.